NDR Info. Nachtclub.
Am Mikrofon ist Paul Baskerville. So, in der zweiten Stunde nun das Editors Interview. Ich habe kürzlich ein Interview mit Tom Smith und Russell Leach mit Editors geführt. Tom hat viel geredet und Russell sagte nicht so viel. Das Gespräch fand am frühen Abend statt, ein paar Stunden bevor sie im Märtheater in Hamburg aufgetreten sind. Hier ist erstmal Musik von der Band von ihrem letzten Album von 2013, The Weight of Your Love. Here's Editors with A Ton of Love.
I think the last album almost sounded like, in hindsight, almost like a live album of a sort.
Well, it kind of was, really. You know, like we were, the two new guys came into the band, we had to prove to ourselves we could be a band. You know, it was like, well, okay, well, you know, we've been through something bad, and now, well, the two new guys in the band, we're established, you know, with the, as we used to be, now we've changed, can we do this? So, I mean, I think it was very natural for us to go towards making a very, you know, a natural sounding record, I guess, more of a traditional rock record. So, you know, so after going through that with this one, it was like, well, come on, let's experiment is maybe a little bit too strong, but, you know, use keyboards and more electronic influences. And we didn't do any rehearsals with this. It was just, we just went to the place in Scotland, and the development of the songs was the recording of them at the same time, which is, we've never done it that way before.
Right, okay. So you've always actually had fully fledged songs before you actually go into the studio?
We've always spent time with them. You know, maybe some of them, turn out to be fully fledged, and they do change. And maybe they change in the studio. But we've always spent weeks, months, maybe more. You know, with my demos and been developing them and been trying different things with them in Birmingham. We didn't do any of that. We just took the ideas, spent, you know, morning kind of talking about the song, whatever we were working on, and then let it develop. You know.
So this time around, it also means that you actually had less to do with the compositions as you had in the past, because otherwise you've had it's always been your basic idea, which has then been built on by the band. Well, and in this case, there was no basic idea. It was a basic idea. It came from everybody.
Well, no, I think some of my ideas can get deconstructed and they can go off in different ways, you know. But it was just like, well, yeah, just that process is what you hear on the record, you know. There was no like, oh, let's sit on it for a few weeks and then go back to it and then try again. It's like, well, do we like what we're doing here? Yes, it felt, you know, exciting and fresh. And then it was like, well, do we need to take these recordings to a producer? And we was like, well, I don't think so. These sound good enough. And then once we had a couple of the recordings mixed by Mulder, it was like, well, this is what we're doing here. We're self-producing and we're doing it in a different way.
And he mixed just a few of the tracks or what?
He started by doing a couple before Christmas. Then we went back into Scotland after Christmas and finished the recordings and he mixed the rest of the record.
We still haven't met Alan Mulder.
Oh, right.
it was a very nice, civilised email process. And, you know, I mean, I think we said hello once when we worked with Flood, but we just didn't really need to go in when he was doing such a sterling job. So I'm sure we'll bump into him at some point.
Tom sagt, das letzte Album, The Weight of Your Love, war wie eine Live-Platte. Wir hatten zwei neue Musiker an Bord, die eingearbeitet werden mussten. Also daher kam das Bedürfnis, eine relativ konventionelle Rockplatte zu machen, um zu beweisen, dass wir als richtige Band noch funktionieren könnten. Deshalb hatten wir nun eher Lust, ein Album mit mehr elektronischen Einflüssen zu machen. Die neuen Songs entstanden in einem Haus in Schottland. Sonst haben wir immer fertige Songs, bevor wir ins Studio gehen. Normalerweise arbeiten wir monatelang vorher an meinen Demos in Birmingham. Aber diesmal war es anders. Die Stimmung war gut. Es klang alles frisch und wir haben entschieden, ohne einen Produzenten aufzunehmen. Alan Mulder hat zwar am Schluss die Songs abgemischt, aber ansonsten haben wir alles selbst gemacht. Wir sind ihm nicht mal begegnet. Er hat so gut gearbeitet, es war nicht nötig, ihn zu treffen. Und hier ist ein Stück von dem neuen Album In Dream, hier ist Editors mit Salvation. Salvation von dem neuen Album In Dream von Editors. Rachel Goswell von Slowdive gastiert auf ein paar Stücken. Slowdive und Editors gehören zwei verschiedenen Generationen an. Wie kam die Zusammenarbeit zustande?
I guess they were making records when we were first kind of discovering music in some ways. Actually, in some ways, the music that I fell in love with to start with, Britpop, was kind of the death of Slowdive. You know, is that stuff coming along that kind of didn't do him any favours at the time. Maybe we're slightly old for our years and maybe she's slightly young for hers, I don't know, but we didn't feel like, you know, there was any issue with any age difference at all. I mean, the reason that we knew that she liked the band is that we'd been to see them a couple of times when they played and hung out and drunk and had a laugh and discovered that she was a fan of the band. So okay. I think we knew there was going to be no awkwardness because we didn't know each other that well or the age thing, you know, not at all.
Of course, that song, The Law, I mean, that's the one, because she contributes background vocals in a few songs, but she's most prominent on that song, The Law. I mean, is it meant to be a duet? It's not really a duet, is it? It's kind of like half a duet. It's a bit kind of unusual song, I think.
It's not a duet in the kind of...
Elton John Kiki
deal. Yeah, quite, yeah. But some of the songs, No Harm as well, when I was writing them, the falsetto voice I was using felt like a different character in them.
I thought you got Jimmy Somerville saying that.
No, that was me. Just tight pants. But So I knew that when we'd float the idea of getting Rachel in, well, I thought, well, hang on, yeah, some of these lyrics do feel like two different people in these songs. So in The Law, she becomes that other person, you know, and the kind of verses feel to me like kind of some kind of angry, kind of sinister character, and Rachel's this kind of calming kind of voice of a conscience. So they are two people, but it's not a typical duet.
Slow Dive haben schon Musik gemacht, als ich gerade dabei war, Musik zu entdecken. Ich war großer Britpop-Fan und der Anfang von Britpop bedeutete das Ende für Bands wie Slow Dive. Es gab bei der Zusammenarbeit mit Rachel kein Problem mit dem Altersunterschied. Wir wussten, dass sie Editors mag, weil wir Slow Dive ein paar Mal live gesehen haben und wir sind zusammen nach den Gigs auf ein paar Drinks ausgegangen. Bei einem Song wie The Law spiele ich eher die Rolle des unheimlichen, düsteren Menschen, während Rachel eine beruhigende Wirkung hat. Sie soll die Stimme meines Gewissens darstellen. Da gibt es zwar zwei Sänger, aber es ist kein typisches Duett. And here's The Law von Editors von dem Album In Dream.
It's interesting because I think that so far so good. You've always managed to kind of push the music forward. And it's interesting to me, is that like a conscious stance to do that? Or is it something which is innate in you that you do automatically because you're artist, because it's what you're meant to do?
When we were making our fourth record to start with, and we were making it with Crystal in the band, we recorded with Flood a couple of different sessions. We went over and over lots of songs, different versions of them. And after that, we never got to the point where we thought that the material was good enough. It felt like it was a little too similar to what we'd done before. It didn't have something unique about it. And there were two options there: to split up and never make another record, because we didn't want to put out something that felt a bit lazy to us, or to move on without Chris, you know, a member, and find a different way of doing it. So to us, when we're making music, if we feel like it's lazy or slightly too similar to what we've done before, you don't hear it. You know, it doesn't get out there. I'm not saying that everybody agrees with the decisions we make and the directions we take, but I think we've always tried to feel like we're doing something fresh and that is different to us. Yeah,
right.
And I think that came very naturally. We don't sit around and talk about it. There's no board meetings. It comes out in the way that we rehearse and talk to each other when we're developing the songs. And it's not like, oh, it's just a feeling. You know, you feel this isn't good enough. This is too similar to what we've done before. Or so, you know, like when we made the third record, there were very few guitars and a lot more keyboards. Like, this is on a gut instinct level, we knew that that was the right thing for the band to do, because if you're doing the same thing over and over again, it's the enemy, isn't it?
Als wir das vierte Album The Weight of Your Love machen wollten, hatten wir zum ersten Mal überhaupt das Problem, dass wir mit unseren neuen Kompositionen unzufrieden waren. Wir dachten, es wäre besser, sich zu trennen, als langweilig zu werden. Chris verließ die Gruppe und wir dachten, okay, wir werden uns neu erfinden. Als Faustregel ist es bei uns so, dass Songs, die träge wirken, gar nicht erst von uns veröffentlicht werden. Ich weiß, dass nicht alle Leute immer mit unserer Entwicklung einverstanden sind. Aber Hauptsache haben wir das Gefühl, immer was Frisches zu machen. Als wir das dritte Album veröffentlicht haben, war es sehr keyboard-orientiert und es gab kaum Gitarren. Es war einfach das Bauchgefühl, das uns sagte, dass wir richtig damit lagen. Sich ständig zu wiederholen, ist der größte Feind schlechthin. Und hier ist jetzt Papillon von dem besagten Album In This Light and On This Evening, 2009, von Editors.
Do you ever worry that you might actually overtax the listeners, actually making stuff which is too difficult, like songs like Marching Order, which are quite long or whatever like that? Do you think that people... I don't know whether anybody complains to you that they get impatient with you or they don't have enough patience themselves, but is that ever a criticism levelled at you?
I think the moment where that was most apparent was after An End Is a Start, when we made In This Light. Because that record, other than Papillon, there's no singles on that album at all, really. And it's quite dark. It's really claustrophobic. And it is the opposite, in many ways, of the Racing Rats or, you know, Smokers and those singles, which were also at that time, certainly in the UK, not so much everywhere else, we were at our most, you know, relevant on a kind of global commercial scale. Level, you know, Radio 1 and things like that, you know. So to go make that record, then make In This Light, that was at the time when I think it was, well, not that we cared at the time, or it was, you know, we loved that record.
You were asking for trouble a little bit, weren't you?
A little bit, yeah. But, you know, you make those decisions and then, you know, I don't know, maybe if we just tried to make another An End as a Start, I don't know if we'd be here now. So, you know, you have to, you know.
People might have got bored by then, yeah.
Yeah, possibly, you know. I mean, yeah. So you just have to go with your gut and not really kind of... Because for every person that, like, says, oh, I really miss that, what Ed used to be, there's people that, you know, like what we are now, you know, so...
Even when they see a show as well now, they kind of get it. It makes sense, the set list at the moment, and the story, you know.
Saying it's like a musical.
No, well, yeah, in some ways. Still never done a medley.
Do you still regard yourselves as a rock band in that sense?
I think so. Just an alternative band, really. Like talking about that era, though, when we were kind of like, you know, more of a pop band, I guess, and we were on CD UK and Top of the Pops and things like that. We always thought it was a bit strange, you know. The bands that, for the reasons that I picked up the guitar in the first place, with the exception of some of that Britpop stuff, I suppose, but most things that I loved, the REMs, the kind of spiritualized, they weren't on, you know, daytime radio.
Das dritte Album In This Light and On This Evening empfanden die Leute als besonders schwer konsumierbar. Papillon war die einzige Single-Auskopplung und der Rest der Platte war schon sehr düster und klaustrophobisch und gewissermaßen das Gegenteil von Songs wie The Racing Rats und Smokers Outside the Hospital Doors. Das zweite Album war das kommerziell erfolgreichste Werk, das oft im Radio lief. Und die dritte Platte war wie eine Gegenreaktion und wir verloren entsprechend an kommerzieller Bedeutung. Aber wenn wir eine ähnliche Platte wie die zweite gemacht hätten, wären wir wahrscheinlich heute gar nicht mehr hier. Klar, es gibt Leute, die den alten Sound vermissen, aber es gibt andere, die den neuen Sound mögen. Wir betrachten uns als eine Alternative Band und nicht als eine Rockband. Die Bands, die ich früher wirklich geliebt habe, wie Spiritualized und REM, waren auch nie richtige Radiothemen. Und hier ist jetzt Marching Orders von dem neuen Album In Dream von Editors.
And you as a singer, do you actually think that things have changed? I mean, I think I get the impression that you got more versatile as the years have gone by.
I've tried to, you know, stretch my voice and sing, not just sing like this all the time, you know. Tried to take myself somewhere else. And also using different registers for my voice in different styles has made the way that I write songs different. You know, melodies come out different, lyrics come out differently when I'm writing in falsetto or things like that. And so, you know, I've tried to stretch myself. I like pop singers that have great voices, you know, really, like you see, I don't know, Boy George, or even Bono, actually. Bono's got a great voice, really good voice, you know. Those singers, you know, go for it. It's not, you know, go for the range and stuff. So, yeah, I've tried, you know.
Yeah, wasn't it the case that to begin with you only became the singer really under duress a bit?
I wrote the kind of the ideas for the songs and, you know, when we're starting the band, there was a few little song ideas that I had that, you know, we were at university to the very, very, very beginning, you know, we were a little kind of strange, songs, I guess, of mine that we threw around and as well as the kind of covers that we did at the time. And, I think we just had a desire then to make something new, so... It just turned out that I'd sing. Don't know if they'd... Do you think there'd be anyone at university that could have sung?
No. Yeah. You struggled to get the four of us, really.
Well, I think it was important, though, that you had this voice, which is kind of slightly unusual to begin with. It took us about a year to get used to, maybe.
Yeah.
Because it gave you an immediate identity. Mm-hmm. So it was automatically recognisable. If it came on in a pub or in a club, you knew that was edited because of your vocal, right? Mm-hmm. And so that gave you the chance then to build on that and to really forge your own identity. And I think that was probably the first step in the right direction.
Yeah, that and possibly, you know, Chris's guitar sound as well. He had a very kind of, you know, he had a unique, you know, a signature sound, like, shall we say, and that helped. It was our personality, especially those first two records. It was what we were all about.
Tom sagt, ich habe versucht, meine Fähigkeiten als Sänger auszubauen. Ich habe schon... eine größere Variationsbreite als früher. Das beeinflusst auch das Songwriting, weil die Songs dadurch einfach anders werden. Ich mag Popsänger wie Boy George und Bono sehr, die einfach tolle Popstimmen haben, die einen großen Stimmumfang haben. Als wir damals auf der Universität in Birmingham Editors ins Leben riefen, war ich der Einzige, der überhaupt als Sänger in Frage kam. Mein Gesang und der originelle Gitarrensound von Chris sorgten dafür, dass wir von Anfang an eine eigene, erkennbare Identität hatten. Hier ist jetzt Smokers Outside the Hospital Doors von dem zweiten Album An End Has a Start von 2007 von Editors.
I remember when kind of Britpop blew over and I thought, well, probably Oasis are going to be the last really big rock band in from England because eventually just rock music has got to die out, hasn't it? Eventually it's got to die out, more or less, and become just a fringe interest or something like that. And so really, to my mind, you shouldn't have been there at all. You had no right to be there because I thought, well, you know, it must be over by now. But then you came along and it took the world by storm. And I don't know, how did you actually think of yourselves in those terms of how the history of rock music kind of developed? So did you think you were riding along in that sense, like another important rock band, you know, after people said there aren't going to be any more?
Yeah. I didn't know, because, you know, especially at the time, I was focused on the negativity. You know, if things were very exciting, lots of great things were happening, but if there was something negative, that would be what I would think about for longer. So the bad reviews would always linger longer than the good ones. And so I never thought, oh, you know, we are riding some kind of cultural wave here, you know. I was just like, oh, we're just outsiders, you know.
You were a bit like sort of Marmite at the beginning, weren't you, a little bit?
I think we, yeah.
You still are, and you're still on, aren't we?
Yeah, some people really just don't like us, and we're an easy one to give a bad review, so, you know, they can take it.
Well, you got used to the mixed reviews. So I think I've always read mixed reviews about you.
Yeah, it's like people pick up.
Always get mixed reviews.
What's been quite nice about this record, I think it's been, you know, for the most part, really positive, the reviews. Yeah. It's been a long time since we've had a record that's been received. I'm not saying it's, you know, 5 out of 5 everywhere, but like it's all been like good. It's like, oh, okay.
Still in the green on Metacritic.
That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
And if you're not, then you're really in trouble.
Yeah, I think all the rest of them.
You're going to split up then.
No, I don't think we would for that reason.
Ich habe uns damals als keine wichtige neue Rockband betrachten können, weil es so viele negative Rezensionen gab, die länger hängen blieben als die guten Bewertungen. Ich empfand uns als Außenseite. Die neue Platte hat in der Regel wirklich gute Rezensionen bekommen. Ist lange her, seitdem wir so doll gelobt wurden. Und Russell meint, wir sind in dem grünen Bereich bei Metacritic, bei der Kolumne, die Rezensionen sammelt und eine Durchschnittsnote auswertet. Und Tom sagt, ja, wir würden uns nie wegen schlechter Rezensionen trennen. Und hier ist jetzt Ocean of Night von dem neuen Album In Dream von Editors.
And so with this new album now, which are your favourite songs from the album and why? Is there such a thing as a favourite song on the album?
I like No Harm, the opener, because it gave us the direction of the record and the kind of tone of it, and that felt important. And I think The Law as well with Rachel, just because it's a moment and something different for us, you know, different voice and the tone of it, you know, really fits in the middle.
Yeah, I like the slow ones as well. It's quite. The one thing I did notice people talk about this record is that some people are like, it's a bit too slow. Could have been slower, I tell you.
It was going to be a lot slower. We had to speed it up.
We got
Alan Moulder to speed it up.
He did speed a couple up, yeah. we do naturally veer towards that kind of pace, you know. The kind of more dramatic, take their time a little bit. So those songs that Russell mentioned and a couple of others that would be my favourites too. We have an appreciation and a love for, you know, pop music and things that are accessible as well, but yeah, if you had to, you know, if we had to pin one song that we loved on the record, I think all of us were going to go No Harm as well. Yeah,
and I think we all like the debut XX record as well. That was good when that came out. That was kind of nice for a younger band to be doing something, you know, like, you know, they're still pretty young, aren't they? So
yeah. They influence you and made you slow down a bit, then, I wonder.
Yeah, perhaps.
Yeah, so what does the future hold then, now, to finish off?
We're going to get really slow.
You're going to turn into a slow call.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're going to go on tour with Low.
Yeah, what a band. Yeah, one of the bands that we really enjoyed when we were at university. And some of our tunes actually did sound like that. It was like, yeah, let's make it sound like Low.
Yeah. Right, well, thanks very much for talking to me anyway.
No worries at all.
Thank you.
Ich mag das erste Stück No Harm sehr, sagt Russell, weil es wie ein Wegweiser für die neue Platte war. Und das Stück The Law mit Rachel mag ich auch so gerne, weil es so anders ist. Tom mag die langsamen Songs auch. Es gab schon Leute, die gesagt haben, die Platte sei insgesamt zu langsam. Die Wahrheit ist, dass es noch langsamer hätte werden können. No Harm ist für mich auch in dieser Hinsicht der absolute Maßstab, sagt Tom. Wir mochten alle das Debütalbum von The XX sehr gerne. Wir werden immer langsamer. Bald werden wir wie The XX oder wie Low klingen. Und hier ist jetzt No Harm von dem Album In Dream. Das war ein Gespräch mit Tom und Russell von Editors. Und das war der Nachtclub mit Paul Baskerville. Ich wünsche euch eine gute Nacht.
NDR Info. Nachrichten.